Are you looking for a new math curriculum? CTC Math specializes in providing online video tutorials that take a multi-sensory approach to learning. Creative graphics and animation, synchronized with the friendly voice of internationally acclaimed teacher Pat Murray, make learning math easy and effective. Favorably reviewed in Kathy Duffy's 102 Top Picks and the Old Schoolhouse Crew Review, the lessons are short and concise to help your child break down concepts and appreciate math in a whole new way. Visit ctcmath.com today to start your free trial. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton with my co-host Abby Ranella, and we are back with another fantastic guest. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. It's always such a blessing to know that you're on the other end and that we get to spend a little part of your day with you. Many of you are familiar with our guest today, Rachel Carman. She's a wise veteran homeschool mom who both Abby and I highly respect, and we're thrilled to have her as a speaker for the upcoming Homegrown Generation Family Expo. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be with you again.
Thank you. Tell us briefly about you and your family.
Okay, so I've been married to my man. It'll be 33 years in December.
Wow.
And we started out on this journey a long, long time ago together. And we have 7 children, which even now seems impossible. So we have 2 boys, 2 sons, then 3 daughters in the middle, and then 2 sons at the end. We're on our 24th. I think it's our 24th year of home education, because next I'll have one more year and that will be 25 years.
Wow.
But we have 5 homeschool graduates. We have 3 college graduates and a 4th in this next May, and 1 with his master's degree. So all to the glory of God. No one is more surprised than I, and not because of my kids, just because of their mom. I oh ye of little faith. That was me in the beginning of this whole journey.
Well, it's always an encouragement to hear from moms like yourself who have gone into this without the great confidence of, I got this, I can do this, and this is going to be amazing, because very few moms feel that way. And so to hear you in this from the other end, just saying, God works out all the details, and he's in this, is so great. So,
Well, Rachel, I'm excited to have you here. I was able to hear you at the Homeschool Idaho convention last summer. My husband and I both heard you, and it was powerful. You bring a powerful story and just a great encouragement. And one of my favorite sessions of yours was the session that you did on marriage. And I think it's so relevant today, because marriage is under attack. The family is under attack. And what God's word has to say about marriage isn't always a popular message that people want to hear. But it just was so encouraging. I just remember I walked out of that room and I could not believe the amount of women that were encouraged. I mean, just talking about, wow, it was life-changing for a lot of marriages. And it wasn't just your opinion of marriage, but it was God's word. And what does God say about marriage? And God's word works. It's designed to work. That's why he gave it to us. So I'm so excited to take that message that I know just changed lives at my Homeschool Idaho convention and just bring it to the masses through this podcast. So, so you said 33 years you guys have been married.
Yeah.
And every moment has been absolute wedded bliss, right? No difficulties.
You're funny. I could take a show on the road. No, it hasn't been that at all. And I don't know if I shared this in Idaho, so you might get some repeat stuff today, right? But so I remember when some friends called to say that they were getting a divorce, which is heart-wrenching to receive that phone call. Mm-hmm. I'm sure both of you have received that phone call. It's not a phone call you want to ever receive. And the person said they were getting a divorce and why. And he said to me, but you know, you wouldn't understand, because you just think each other are amazing and y'all are just crazy about each other. And I can tell you, this conversation happened 15 years ago. I can tell you where I was standing when I had this conversation, because I said to this person on the phone, I said, no, whoa, whoa, whoa. look, we have been through our ups and downs. So this would have been, we weren't even married 20 years at this point. As we've been through our ups and downs, and if it were not the fact that I made a covenant before the living God, I would have walked years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there was this silence, you know, I was overcome and I said it with some force, but I don't think it's right for any of us to look at anyone's marriage. Anybody who's been married longer than 24 hours, you know, it's work.
Right.
It's work. And I think we insult each other when we just think anybody's is easy.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's admirable those who have determined, especially in this disposable generation, to stay the course, because that's what it is. It's not about, you know, we've had friends that got a divorce because they were no longer in love with each other. That's not part of the equation, according to the Bible. This was a promise. I entered into a blood covenant with the holy God of the universe.
That's right.
That said that I was committing my life to staying in this relationship, good or bad, up or down. I like it or not, wasn't about my feelings. It was about a promise that I made.
That's right.
And that's, I really think, you talk about circling back. We got to circle back. It's not, this marriage thing isn't a feeling, because that does not get you through the hard times.
Mm-mm.
But a covenant does. And one of my big things about marriage is, it's really easy for us to think it doesn't matter if we don't get who God is. Because when you get who God is, there becomes a seriousness to the covenant made. Because of who you made the promise to. Right. You made it to God, the Almighty, Sovereign of the universe. You made a vow. And so, yeah, 33 years, ups and downs, lots of moves, good financial times, bad financial times, selling houses, houses that don't sell, unemployment, sick children, death of parents and grandparents. It's been like anybody else's. But we have determined to stay true to the vows that we made before God.
Yeah.
That's I love that. And not even the vows you made to each other, but the vows you made to God. And I think that's really where the difference comes in with a biblical marriage is who, like you said, who did you make the promise to? And, you know, do you have a reverence for him?
Right. Yeah.
And that is what carries through the hard times.
Yeah.
It really, really does. Just like his word does not return void. When we spend time with God and in his word, when we keep our word, which if you study God's word is a pretty big deal. Keeping your word is a pretty big deal. We were just reading this morning in family devotions in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus told the masses, let your yes be yes. Don't go around having to swear. It should. And my son goes, well, that doesn't make sense. You have to sign contracts. And I said, no, but that's not what it meant. It meant we need to be people of integrity,
right?
Such that when I say I'm going to do something, people are like, oh no, Rachel said she would do it. She will do it. She didn't need to, you don't need to get a signature. She will keep her word. That's what we're called to.
Yeah.
And that's what marriage is. It's about being men and women of integrity who stay true to the word that we gave. And we stand our ground and determine to, it's about honoring God, right? And we've all heard it. And they say it takes hearing something 17 times before it soaks in.
Wow.
It takes more than that many times if you have teenagers. That was true. But it takes, in other words, it takes a multitude of times to hear something. And this generation has leaned into the idea that marriage is all about being happy.
That's right.
And we've heard it. It's really about that process of becoming holy. You know, Leviticus 19:2, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And so we're supposed to, sanctification is a very real part of this. I mean, marriage is a very real part of this sanctification process that God invites us to lean into, not a run away from, right? Wouldn't we all love to run away from sanctification and do it our own way, right? In our arrogance and our pride and our selfishness. Yeah. But marriage is this beautiful context that God says, lean in and trust me. I've got something here for you.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in just a second. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is almost here. From February 17th through the 21st, the Schoolhouse Rocked team is gathering your favorite speakers in one place and hosting a one-of-a-kind live and interactive online event called the Homegrown Generation Family Expo. This will be a full week of encouragement, resources, and community, as we'll be addressing the most important issues that homeschool families face. You'll have the opportunity to interact live with our phenomenal lineup of speakers and have a chance to win valuable prizes. The price for this live and interactive online event is only $20, which also gives you lifetime access so that you can enjoy it whenever you want. Register today at homegrowngeneration.com. That's homegrowngeneration.com. I love that reminder of trusting him, because it's so hard. And like you're saying, the world is telling us, just do what makes you happy. You see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. You see it on t-shirts, mm-hmm. you see it on signs, you see it on billboards, you know, just do what makes you happy. Do you. And mm-hmm. that is not what the Word of God says. And I was, as you were talking, I was actually thinking about the movie Fireproof with Kirk Cameron. And it's such a fantastic movie, because I think if we're all realistic about our marriage, we all come to points in our marriage where we feel like we don't love that person. You know, we're angry with them. And I mean, that feeling may last for 10 minutes, or it may last for 10 hours or 10 years, you know. But I think we all feel that at times, like, I don't like you. I don't love you. I don't want to be with you anymore. But if we rely on those feelings to make the decisions that are life altering for us and our families, it's not going to go well with us. And in that movie Fireproof, you know, he learns to fall in love with his wife all over again. And it's such a fantastic and beautiful look at what God can do in a marriage, because even though we don't feel a certain way, it doesn't mean that God can't help us walk through that and heal our marriages. I mean, just like he can heal a wound that, you know, a cut on your leg, he can heal the wounds of marriage as well. And if we're willing to be committed to what God has called us to do, then he can do that. He is a powerful God. He's the God of the universe. And and he can do that. Especially in our culture today, Rachel, why does marriage even matter? You know, you look at a lot of millennials, and I know there are a whole lot of them who just feel like, well, marriage doesn't even matter. I don't need a husband. I don't need a wife. I'm doing just fine on my own. I'm pursuing my career. I don't need a family. Why does marriage even matter in light of God's plan for our world?
You know, that is just such a great question. And I think it's a question that gets lost in this me culture, mm-hmm. right? There's an assumption that it doesn't matter, that it is something that we should do away with. Let's throw off the shackles of tradition. Let's throw off, you know, the heavy weight of the way things have always been done, instead of considering, well, why have they been done that way? You know, why don't we dare to ask that question? And it's a very important question. So, you know, in the very beginning of the Bible, in the beginning, God created. When you read through the Genesis account, there is the pronoun we used, because we learn very early in Scripture the eternality of God, mm-hmm. that he established a beginning, right? He established time, but he actually existed outside of time, established time with the rhythm of the seasons and all of that. But there's a we introduced early in Scripture, because we know that there's this perfect unity within the Trinity between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is that unity that is physically illustrated in our marriages, right? So husband, wife, and God. That's the Trinitarian representation in a marriage are those three. Mm-hmm. And then the reason it matters, I believe, is God wants us to participate in fellowship with one another. Yep. He invites us. We were never made to do this by ourselves, which is, in my opinion, simultaneously awesome and incredibly intimidating, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's awesome because I don't want to have to do this by myself. Mm-hmm. I think there are a few things worse than loneliness.
Yeah.
Which is really why I'm so committed to encouraging homeschool moms specifically, mm-hmm. because that loneliness can literally take you under.
Yep.
When you feel like you're all by yourself. And I want to just say here, if you are a single homeschool mom and you're longing to be in a marriage, I pray for you because it is a deep longing. And I have friends that are single homeschool moms, and that is very, very difficult. And I'm so grateful that in scripture we're told that God is the husband to those women who are doing it. And it's not easy. It's harder than doing it as a couple. But God is so good to be a faithful husband in those circumstances.
That's right.
So I wanted to make sure that it didn't seem like I was unaware that that is a very real part of the homeschooling demographic. But marriage matters because, again, it's a part of our sanctification. And as we come together as husband and wife and we practice in that fellowship and we practice what we're called to as followers of Christ, and that is death to self, right?
That's right.
We become more and more like in the likeness of God's Son. It's a molding process. And when we start learning the beauty and the power of dying to ourselves, then we are better equipped and ready to really serve those others that God puts in our path. That's what it means when it says, so, you know, they were trying to trick Jesus. And the lawyer, I believe, comes up and he says, you know, what's the greatest commandment? So it started out as 10, they expanded to 613. And now they're trying to snag Jesus. You know, which one of the 613 is he going to say? Because he can't win this, right? Because in theory, none of them are more important than the others. And so he goes 10, 613, and he goes to what? Two. And he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that scripture makes a pretty long list of scriptures that have been taken out of context to mean something that it didn't mean. And so our culture wants that to mean that we need to love ourselves. This whole idea of self-love to the point that we're neglecting others and we're becoming selfish and we're becoming thoughtless and inconsiderate. That is not at all. You know, if you really, really want to love yourself, you will seek to become what God has planned for you to be, which means you're dying to yourself. Okay. To love your neighbor means you're dying to yourself. You love yourself enough to know that your plan for you is not anything on what God's plan for you is.
Yeah.
And so marriage gives us this opportunity to practice this fellowship, to practice dying to ourselves, practice this unity, forgiveness and grace and mercy, right? And it gives us an opportunity to practice an intimacy. I mean, you want to talk about, so marriage has been under fire for a while now. We've seen even among believers, I think it's 50-50 now, mm-hmm. tragically. But even now, I mean, you'd have to be dead not to see the attack on sex, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
This beautiful, intimate act that God has given to one man and one woman in a monogamous relationship with each other in a covenant relationship, as long as they both shall live, is under fire because that intimacy represents the intimacy that is available to us,
right,
with the God of the universe. It's a physical representation of the intimacy that God has in store for us and invites us into. So of course the enemy is attacking it. We ought not be shocked and surprised. He wants to attack that. He wants people to participate in relationships that are not God-honoring and to carry that shame and that embarrassment. And he wants to destroy the beauty of God's gift to us. Yep. So it matters that we, as believers, stay true to the covenant that we've made, that we lean into the opportunities for sanctification that God gives us in that context, that we learn what it means to forgive and to be kind and gracious and considerate, that we learn to die to ourselves, and that we do indeed enjoy the intimacy that God has given us so that we can be a light to the nations. Because that is something that plays from the inside out, right?
Yep.
I mean, it does. People know. You know, we went out on a date because I'm a huge advocate for couples still dating. Mm-hmm. So we went out on a date and our waiter, you know, he's in his 30s and he's like, so what are you celebrating? An anniversary? And my husband goes, no, we're actually celebrating that in a couple of months. And he goes, he didn't really care. He just wanted to know. He's so, and what will it be? How many years have you been married? And Davis looked at him square in the eye and said, on December the 20th, it will be 33 years.
Wow.
I thought the guy was going to collapse. Wow. You know what? That nowadays, a marriage that honors God is a huge witness and yep. testament.
For sure.
And, you know, I double dog dare everyone to live that out.
Yeah.
Live a marriage that other people look at and go, I want that. I want that.
Yeah.
I think we can, then you have it's a conversation starter.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Right. Such a good reminders. And I will say, happy anniversary to my hubby, because right around this, at the time this is going to air, we will actually be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary.
Yay! Oh, that's awesome.
Only by the grace of God have we been able to do that. And like you talked about earlier, it is only because we made that commitment to God in the beginning. And we promised that we would never even say the word divorce. And, you know, we've taken that covenant seriously, and it at times has been really hard. And just like you and just like everybody, we've been through hard times, but we go through them together. And even in the midst of the trials and hardships that we have, God created us as a team, and he brought us together as husband and wife. And we're committed to this no matter how hard it is. And so, yeah, by God's grace, 25 years and happy anniversary to you guys. I mean, it's just amazing to see that. And we love that we get to share that with others and not brag about it like we're so great, but brag on God about that and say, look what God's done, because truly it's only by his grace that we have been able to stay married this long. So, Rachel, we are out of time for this podcast, but I would love for you to come back and can we continue on this conversation for part two?
That would be awesome. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, let's close this one up. You guys, thank you for listening today. As always, I love that you're on the other side of this microphone and get to be encouraged along with me. And Rachel, thank you for your time today. We'll come back in a few days with part two so people can keep being encouraged in their marriages. And Abby, thank you for being with me today as well. And you guys, we will see you back in a few days. Bye.